A couple summers ago, we were out on our friend's boat and they were wake surfing. If you haven't heard of wake surfing, look it up because it is different than wakeboarding. And my husband wanted to try. So he did, very unsuccessfully. And after a few times of failed attempts, he asked our friend, "How do you do this? Help me out." And our friend replied by saying, "You just stand up." And we always laugh and make fun of him for this because it was literally the least helpful response ever. This has probably happened to you before. Maybe a friend or a colleague makes something look or sound so easy, but in reality, you have no idea how to do it yourself. And in the world of online business, this makes me think of when people tell us to incorporate storytelling in our content. You've probably heard this before. Oh, you can connect with your audience by telling stories in your emails and on your podcast episodes and on your social media. But what exactly does that mean? What does that look like? And why does it seem so much harder than it actually needs to be? That is what we're talking about in today's episode. I have Megan Wisdom here to talk all about why storytelling is so important in our marketing and some ways that we can use storytelling on our podcast and in our email marketing. She gives us an especially amazing tip for your emails because I know I've talked about this on the podcast before because it's a question that comes up over and over and over again. How do I share my podcast episodes in my emails in a way that people are actually going to be interested in? Megan is a certified copywriter, teacher, and self-proclaimed word nerd. She helps teacherpreneurs and other 5-, 6-, and 7-figure business owners make thousands by creating high-converting email copy that highlights products and personalities. She's passionate about using storytelling in marketing because she believes it has the power to help businesses stand out in a crowded marketplace. She also shares weekly email marketing tips on her podcast, Copy That Converts. It's a great podcast. Definitely go check it out after listening to today's episode. After listening today, be sure to tag Megan and I on Instagram to let us know that you are listening. I am Podcasting for Educators on Instagram, and Megan is at Megan Wisdom Writes. I'll have all of that in the show notes as well. Let's go ahead and get started. Your podcast is a powerful tool that serves your audience and your business. But how do you manage it all, bring in new listeners, and convert those listeners into customers? That's what this show is all about. Welcome to Podcasting for Educators. I'm Sarah Whitaker, classroom teacher turned podcast manager, and I'm here to help you get the most out of your show, all while making an impact on other educators. All right, we are here with Megan. Megan, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking about storytelling today, and I'm excited for this because I feel like it's advice that we hear a lot, like tell stories in your emails, tell stories on your podcast, but it's hard. It's easier said than done. And like, what does that actually look like? And what does that mean? So we're going to be getting into that today because this is something you do really well. You have a podcast that I listen to and you do this really, really well. So I'm excited for you to fill us in today, but let's kind of start at square one by telling us just like, why is storytelling so important in our marketing in the first place?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, the principles of advertising or copywriting marketing in general have to do with dealing with people's emotions. When we make a decision first emotionally and second logically. So storytelling really helps to connect to those emotions that we feel. It makes information also more engaging, and it really just sticks in your brain. And there's lots of science around this, around why storytelling actually sticks. But like, for example, most of us can probably or more likely to remember a story that a teacher told us in class rather than a bunch of facts. For example, if I gave you a bunch of facts and figures about the American Revolution, you might remember some of them. But if I tell you a story about George Washington getting in the trenches with his soldiers and, you know, surviving a harsh winter and going across the Delaware, et cetera, you're probably going to remember that a lot more than the dates of, you know, the Battle of Trenton or something like that. So storytelling really does stick. It makes things memorable. And you, as a professional are going to want people to remember your brand and your message. And so storytelling is going to help you do that. So it also helps build trust and credibility with our audience. So genuine stories that are really authentic life stories, especially, can do that. It builds a bridge between us and our clients, because not only can you empathize with their situation or their problem, the problem that you were trying to solve for them, but it also just helps you become a more relatable person. And so if you become that to your audience, then of course you're going to be top of mind whenever they think of, I've got this problem that needs solving, who can I turn to? So storytelling can really help with all of those things.
Yeah, for sure. I think about myself as a consumer and like when I've really felt connected to what someone is saying and in turn what they're selling. And it always starts with a story that they've told me through their email or through their podcast, because I am such an avid podcast listener. And since we're talking about podcasts, I'd love to know, like, what are some ways that we can, as podcasters, use storytelling in our episodes? Because this is really hard for a lot of people listening as educators. Like, this is something I'm trying to encourage people to do, because we're just, our go-to is to just teach, and like get to the point, which is great. And I think that there definitely should be a lot of that too. But how can we go about incorporating storytelling into our episodes?
Okay, this is a great question. But I think teachers also have the advantage, because we've all had that moment, that student that's looking at you with confusion and you're like, okay, how do I get through to them? And you usually turn to a story or an analogy to help them better understand something. And so we want this to be the same with our podcast audience. When we're trying to explain a concept, add an analogy, add a personal anecdote. So where do those come from? That's the harder part. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I would say a really good way to do this in your podcast is to start with a story or an anecdote, an analogy of some sort, because that's going to really hook them in and get them interested in wanting to hear the rest of the episode. So if you can start from the top with a story or analogy, that's a great hook. You know, think about the best essays, the best articles always start with a hook, something that really gets you interested and makes you want to know more. And so I feel like that's a great place to use stories, or anytime that you need to explain something that may be a hard concept, or just to give people a different picture of what you're trying to teach them, use a story. Second, the way we should be using this as podcasters is in our email marketing. A lot of people get very tense about this because they think storytelling, they think of a novel, right? Like I don't want to write a novel. People don't want to read a novel. People don't want to read anything. And they get very defensive about this. But I'm telling you that it's even more important to use it if you're a podcaster who's promoting your episodes, because here's the thing. I work with a client that I have in mind that had really dismal open rates because her emails were just basically podcast promotion emails, which is fine. We want our people to know when we've dropped a new episode, but those people are likely going to be following you in Apple iTunes already. They don't necessarily need a reminder because it's downloading to their phone. So then what do we do about these emails? If you can get, they're not going to open them in that case. Like they're just going to go, oh yeah, that's an email reminder about the podcast episode.
Especially if like the subject line is the same every time. Like,
Yeah, like why would I open that? But if you give them something else in addition to that and actually entice them in a different way to want to listen, because sometimes, you know, people fall in and off of listening to podcasts, what can you do to entice them a little bit more? So adding just a little sprinkle of a antidote from your life, or tying it into an event maybe that's just recently happened, something in pop culture even, anything that's going to entice them to open and read more, that is important. I would tell you like a story of someone. So the client that I have in mind, her open rates were dismal, like 12%. So we shifted. She actually posts multiple podcast episodes a week. And so, you know, they were just getting lost in the inboxes. Nobody was opening. So we changed it to more of a newsletter format. Once a week, we send out the newsletter and we have all of the links to the podcast episodes for the week included. But what we do is we look at the podcast episodes for the week and find a unifying theme. What can we pull out of each of those episodes that tie together? Or how can I tell a story that I can subtly include hyperlinks to the episodes just by hyperlinking words, not like, you know, button, call to action, download, listen now. And so in the text of the story, so usually what happens is this. I will find the theme. I will go to my client and say, tell me about a time when, fill in the blank. And it goes along with that theme. And then I listen to the story that she tells and I look for opportunities to put those episodes in there. So whether it's the text, what the text inside the story kind of aligns with what the podcast episode is about, then we will hyperlink those words to the podcast episode, not click here for episode 32. You know, hopefully we can tie in all the episodes within the story itself. If not, there's occasionally a time when you've got like some kind of weird one-off podcast that doesn't really make sense with the theme. And you're like, what do I do with this? Yeah. Well, we just put it in the PS, like PS, if you're interested, blah, blah, blah. But the story is really what gets people opening. And they may already have listened to all the episodes for the week. No problem. You're still nurturing them through storytelling. And our open rates have gone up to almost like 46%, from 12% to 46%, just by that one thing. And they also know that this is like, we identify it in the preview line as like the weekly newsletter. So they know we're not, it's not a sales email. Like, we're just here to have some fun, to do something light or encourage you in some way. So they look forward to that email instead of like, oh, okay, the podcast is out for this week. So we use storytelling in order to promote our podcast in a different way, while also providing them the value of that nurture email and warming them up, building credibility, building a relationship with them.
I love this tip. I've never thought to like hyperlink that kind of in your actual words versus saying like, this is the episode, click here to listen. I think that that's absolutely brilliant. I'm interrupting this episode for a brief moment to answer one of the biggest questions that podcasters have. How do I continue to bring in and retain new listeners? Here's my favorite answer, podcast guesting. When you guest on the right podcasts, you're positioning yourself in front of ideal listeners and customers. This is a powerful strategy when done intentionally, and I can show you how in my mini course, Guesting for Educators. In this course, I'll teach you my three-step approach to landing and leveraging podcast guest interviews. When you join, you'll get access to the course content, templates, swipe copy, and even a list of shows who are currently accepting guests. The best part, you can work your way through the content in less than a weekend. What are you waiting for? Head to www.podcastingforeducators.com/guesting to learn more. Back to the episode. You can say no, but can I put you on the spot? Can you give us like, do you have an example in your mind that you can give us of like what that might sound like? Like a little just snippet of a story that might connect to an episode?
So the episode itself, like if I'm a business coach, the episode itself might be about overcoming fear when you want to scale your business. What can I do with that? Well, I might think, and then maybe there's another podcast episode for the week about how to get more clients. Okay, those things seem unrelated, right? But I'm going to go with the fear theme and we are going to workshop that. So I would ask the question, tell me about a time when you felt really scared to do something and really reluctant, but you found your courage and then it ended up like you were so glad you did it. That can be anything. It doesn't have to be jumping out of an airplane kind of exciting story. It can be trying a new restaurant in your town. It's like some kind of type of food that you've never tried before, like octopus or something. You know, it seems really scary.
Yeah.
That's relatable. Everybody's done something that they have had fear and had to overcome fear. It can be serious, it can be lighthearted, but that is the unifying theme there. And then I might just tell the story about like how I went to, my husband wanted to try water skiing and I was like terrified of drowning and being dragged across the lake. But like I wanted to hang out with him this weekend. So we went to the lake and I tried water skiing and lo and behold, I didn't die. It was lots of fun. And, you know, now I want to go all the time. And then I would shift that transition. Now, what does that mean for the audience? Because every email that you write should always answer the question, what's in it for me, for the reader? Because it doesn't matter what you want. It matters what they want, or they're not going to open it and read it. So what's in it for me in that story? Then I would transition it to, when you find the courage to overcome your fears in business, you will find just taking that step, taking that messy action, doing the thing that you are dreading the most might actually turn out to be like a huge blessing for you. And then I would just hyperlink like overcoming fear or some words like that to go to the episode instead of like saying episode 30. Now, I still might have a button at the very bottom of the email that has like episode 30, how to overcome fear about scaling your business, and have the actual title. But I would not put it in the story itself. I would just link what is related to the story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And that's such a good example. So will you say in the email anywhere, like, this is what I talked about in this week's episode? Or will you kind of, you just leave that out?
Most of the time I leave it out unless I'm hitting on the points of, I don't really draw attention to the episodes at all.
Yeah.
I might talk about some of the things that are addressed in that as like bullet points or something, but I'm not going to be like, in this week's episode, you'll learn da, 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 da. You'll just be relaying that information. It's like showing without telling.
Yeah. It's just like on social media. When we see posts like that, we just skim right past.
Yeah. Right. So it's a very subtle form of encouraging you to click, to listen, to do all the things, but it's in a different way. It just, our brains react in a different way to storytelling than just strict information, facts. I always say facts tell, stories sell. It's a common saying. And I really feel like it's true. You can sell me with the emotional story of water skiing more so than you can just say, hey, are you scared about taking the next steps in your business? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just gets us a little bit more excited about the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And I would imagine that also lends itself more opportunity to encourage people to like reply to your emails and share about their experiences.
Yeah, for sure. There's lots of times when we've had the last line is like, tell me more about whatever like is related to the story. And it is a really great way to engage your audience for sure.
Yeah. No, I love this. I'm excited to try this. Do you typically write your emails first and then do your subject lines?
I do. Okay. I like to let things settle for a little bit.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I will do my subject lines at a later date because I have to really think. I feel like the subject line is one of the most important things. I mean, it's the most read part of your email.
Yeah. It's like your episode title for your podcast.
Yes. If you don't get past the subject line, if you're not intrigued by the subject line, then it doesn't matter how amazing your email is inside because they're never going to see it.
Right.
So that really takes some thought. And a lot of times I wrestle with how much of the subject line needs to be about the story versus the content. And we just kind of have to play with that. We look a lot at the data and resends and all that good stuff. A lot of times the subject lines that go with the story do better than like the topic itself. So you just kind of have to play around with it. But yeah, I always do my subject lines after I write the story because you never know what's going to come up.
Yes. Yeah. Same. I mean, I feel like that's kind of what we were taught when we were growing up with like writing a story. I remember teachers telling me, write the story first and then you can create the title later.
Yeah, for sure. Brain dump, edit, all that stuff.
Yeah. And let it simmer. Let it sit for a little bit. I do that with podcast episode titles all the time because it's tricky because like you said, it's the reason why somebody's going to click or somebody's going to listen. And if they don't ever open that email or push play on that episode, they're not going to hear your content.
Yep.
So are there any other tips that you wanted to add about adding storytelling to email marketing or podcasting?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say, A, don't be intimidated by the word storytelling. If you need to just shift your thinking about it, maybe change it to like adding a little personality to your emails. That feels a little lighter than storytelling, especially if you have like some English class trauma in your background. Yes. You don't have to be an amazing writer or anything like that. Like it's just about sharing relatable little antidotes. So the way you do that is you always want to start with a theme. When you're struggling to figure out how to do this, just think about a theme. What is the thing that I want people to walk away with? You've already done that. If you're promoting a podcast episode, you already have a theme.
Yeah.
So how can I then illustrate this theme is part two. Just think about a time when if you were trying to tell a kid, because our children or our students or whatever, we often use stories or we say, for example, what is that example that you want to illustrate this thing? So start with the theme, figure out what you're trying to illustrate. A very practical way of doing this for me is there's oftentimes I will see something in my everyday life that I think this would make a good story, but I don't know exactly why I think that. And so I keep notes on my phone where I will just collect this happened, or I see something that is interesting on TV that I'm like, wait, there's something there and I just don't know it yet. And I just file it away. So I have a notes app for this. I also have a Google Doc, and I really would recommend starting a story catalog for yourself where you just make a simple table with a theme section. So if you know what the theme is of the story, you can just drop it in. And maybe you're not using that theme right now. Maybe it's not, your podcast episode is not about that. Just save it, because someday it might be. And then you have your little story, like basically summarize what the story is, or even write it all out. And so it's there for later, for the days when you don't feel creative or you don't have any great ideas. But a story catalog is really good. And then you can also have a part of that chart should have when you used it, because that doesn't mean it's one and done. That's what a lot of people are like, oh, it's a lot of work and mental energy. And then it's like, poof, it's gone. But you can reuse stories very easily, either on social media as a reel of some sort, like a smaller 15 second type story. But you can also reuse those stories in especially automations, sales sequences later on, and you can just switch it up a little bit to go along with whatever you're using at that time without feeling like, oh my gosh, I just wasted all this time and energy on this one thing. It took me an hour to write this email and now it's just lost to the wind. You can always repurpose for sure. But basically having that story bank is going to help you, one, come up with ideas, but two, it'll be there for you on the days when you're not feeling so creative. The other tip I would have is just make sure that you're being consistent with your emails. When you get people anticipating a certain type of email on a certain day, mm-hmm. and they know that you're going to deliver quality content that's engaging, entertaining, encouraging, et cetera, and not just sales or not just facts, then they're going to actually look forward to it. A lot of us use our phones for escape. It's just a way of life. And emails are, believe it or not, not just TikToks, not just Instagram. They're a form of escape for people. Or if you have a promise that if I open this email, I'm probably going to laugh or feel good or feel encouraged, then people are going to do that. And that's going to help improve your open rates over time. So consistency, storytelling, use a story catalog. Those are some practical things to help zazz up your emails, if you will.
Yes. No, I love the story catalog idea. I've never thought to do that. I was actually, because that happens to me all the time. Something will happen. And I think, like, we must probably all think of this as business owners, like, oh, I could use that somehow. We were at a comedy show this past week, and I'm listening to like these comedians tell these stories. And I'm like, man, these are just like everyday things that have happened to them. And they've turn them into this huge story. And we're in this stadium with thousands of people, and they're just telling these simple stories. And that's what we need to be doing as business owners too. So I love the idea of keeping a catalog of that. That's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. It's like Jerry Seinfeld had a whole TV show about nothing.
Yeah.
It's about everyday life stuff. And that's like the things that we can all relate to. Like folding laundry is everyday life stuff for most of the world, or going to the grocery store, or having a toddler that has a, you know, meltdown in Target. Like these are everyday life things that we connect. And we may not have it the exact same experience, but we all can empathize and like understand. And so we can use those as ways to connect and then turn it into a moral or, you know, some kind of lesson learned that goes along with whatever we're trying to share as a business owner, then I think it's going to hit so much better than just plain Jane kind of stuff.
Yes, for sure. I mean, think about like Instagram, when you're on your Instagram stories, when are you getting the most replies to your stories? It's when you're posting about like what you had for lunch or something that your kid's doing, nothing related to business. So if we can link the two, that's the ideal place to be for sure.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, these are great tips and I'm really excited to try these. I feel like you're making this feel really doable. This is like one of the number one questions I get asked by podcasters all the time is about how to promote their episodes and their emails in a way that people are actually going to read and click and open and all of that. So thank you so, so much. And you have a podcast. So tell us a little bit about your podcast and also just where people can find you online.
Yeah, for sure. My podcast is called Copy That Converts. We do talk a lot about storytelling because I believe that's one of the main ways that we get copy that converts. So you can find me there. You can also find me on Instagram at Megan Wisdom Writes or online at meganwisdom.com. And I also have, I'll drop a link in the show notes for you. It's actually for TPT sellers, but it probably could be used for anybody that has, you know, struggles with storytelling. It has 5 storytelling prompts for TPT sellers, and it gives not only the prompts, but examples of how you could implement that in different ways. So I'll share that with you as well.
Perfect. Yes, we will put all of that in the show notes for you. And definitely check out Megan's podcast. I was telling her before we jumped on that I love her episodes so much because the content is good, but she delivers it so quickly. Her episodes are nice and bite-sized every time, which is great because I can always get through them no matter what. So thank you so much for being here. This was really fun.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. To keep this conversation going, connect with me on Instagram at Podcasting for Educators. I'm always looking for an excuse to talk about podcasting. If you're looking for support in launching, managing, or growing your podcast, check out my online course, the Podcasting for Educators Prep School at podcastingforeducators.com/prep school. I'll see you here next time.